We got to slide over to our buddy John Cooper.
He'll explain.
Who did they give up?
Do you remember?
Oh, Jason Garrison.
We're talking about Vegas because Vegas is going.
Just jumping right into this. Yeah. Right into this conversation.
Jump right on in, John.
You've been known to do that before, John.
How are you, pal?
Doing all right, actually. We're in the conference final, so it's been good.
So how do you how would you judge or rate your postseason in between the two series so far and your level of play? Because it's New Jersey was a different opponent for a lot of guys, first time there, and they had the goaltending controversy, and then the second round, boy, there was some concern after that opening game, and surprise, surprise, you guys just steamrolled them after that.
Oh, I don't know. Just because we won four straight, I would never consider that a steamroll. They were good. Boston was really good. But the one thing I would say about our team, to your question, was we've just gotten better as the series has gone on. And you kind of have these moments, one at two in New Jersey. We played pretty well. We found a way to win. You know, you're kind of fighting the excitement of the playoffs. So Jersey's excited. We're excited. It's just kind of fire wagon hockey, you know, because everybody's just trying to hit each other and, you know, do all these things. Well, we're fortunate enough to come out with two games. Game three, though, we had that game in the third. We took way too many penalties. We just basically blew it. We lost our composure, and we felt we lost that game. And so now we're 2-1 faced with, you know, we lose one more. Now it's 2-2. And I really thought that was like our grow-up game. We came in, we won game four, we kind of took off from there. And I think ever since then, we've gotten better in the playoffs. And as for the, you know, game one against Boston, we actually didn't play all that bad. It was like everything they touched went in the net. That was what was really frustrating. And, you know, in a weird way, now I look back, you know, Braden Point was -5, didn't deserve to be 1 ounce of that. And I think he really took it personal and, you know, ended up having, you know, could have been arguably our best player in that series.
So what conversation would you have had with Braden after that game?
Actually, you had a conversation. There was a big conversation went down after the first period in game two because he ate another bad minus. We had a tough change, and they scored at the end of the first period, I think, in game two. And it was just like, I think everything was just crashing in on him when he was playing really, really well. And so, you know, that was one of those moments where, you know, you got to kind of put your arm around the guy and say, listen, you've been unreal. Don't worry about being on the ice for these goals. It's not going to continue. And, you know, that was probably the one time that it was a little bit of a sit down was in between the periods.
So you do that one-on-one with him, or is that in the speech to the team?
No. At that moment, these are brief. It's not like we're having a sitting down having a coffee. it was a good little, you know, just a little chat, like a little reminder of keep the focus and understand that this is like you're doing so many good things and you're filling a huge role for us. Like somebody had to check that line who was, you know, arguably the best line in hockey. And I thought he did a phenomenal job along with, you know, Platt and John.
Do you feel like your defense would have been good enough to get this far in the playoffs, John, if you hadn't added Ryan McDonagh?
Well, it's hard to say, but all I can really say is like Ryan McDonagh's been really, really good for us, and he's just eaten all these minutes. You know, you look back now, like just depth wise, what he's done, and it's hard to take him out and say that. You know, we've won these games. I can't sit here and say we wouldn't have won series. Would we have won them in five?
Right.
That'd be tough to say just because he's been such a big part of everything that's gone on back there. And as I've said this many times, he's just taken so much pressure off Hedman having to be the guy every single night. Mm-hmm. But to come in there on a defense, you know, kind of he's just a man in his own end and something we've needed and just something to add to. And, so, I don't know. I think, you know, the reason we've gotten to this point right now is because of our team play, and he's a part of our team, so it's hard to say if he pulled something out how we would have done.
John Cooper is with us, the head coach of the Atlantic Division champion and now heading to the Eastern Conference Final, Tampa Bay Lightning with Darren Millard, John Shannon, and Damian Cox. Where do you think Steven Stamkos' game is right now?
In regards to
just overall play, and because he's flying under the radar here, John, and that's we're not really used to that. Like I feel like you almost have to reach to bring him up in conversation. No, he's not playing. I don't think he's playing poorly, but we're used to if it's not controversy about him, then him lighting it up. You know what I mean?
The one thing I think for Stammer is he's being talked about his on-ice play instead of, like, the poor guy being hurt.
Yeah.
That's the good thing for us. And the one thing is, like, as you go on in playoffs and different things get bantered about, like, oh, well, these guys are getting lots of points, so this is going on. The one thing I can say about Stamkos, I can throw Cooch in there as well, like, they're not getting scored on. So it's not like they're are drawing a negative. Everybody just expects them to score every single night, which it is like really hard to do in this league. And they were getting chances. I look at the New Jersey series. They basically were the guys that put the puck in the power play for us in the first couple games. And then it was game four. Their line did all the scoring for us. They got us through that. And I thought, you know, Cooch really took that series over. Coming to the Bruins series, and a lot of focus turned out to be on the Bergeron line and Marchand line, our guys. And then it came on to how well the point line was playing, and that kind of took over a lot of the headlines. Then another incident took over some headlines. And all of a sudden, you know, I think things were a little bit clouded, other than the fact that we needed a game, we need to pull out game four, and who was the guy that got us the big goal when we needed it. And then in game five, when we're trying to close them out, those guys get the big goal in the power play. So, to be honest, it's everybody's contributing. It's just not. It just hasn't been lopsided either way. Like, somebody showed me the scoring in the playoffs, like the scoring leaders, and I don't even think we have anybody even close to up there.
No,
and because we've kind of been getting it from a bunch of different guys. So, as I said, to get where we are, all the guys are playing well. We just haven't had one guy every single night stand out, and I think that's probably what's been good for us.
When you talk about that and you talk about the depth, JT Miller's name comes to mind. And how has he changed the personality of that top line with Kucherov and Stamkos?
Well, you know, it was funny. We were we were pre-scouting some stuff today and looking at some of the dynamics of the lines. You look at who we're going to play, Ovechkin and Kuznetsov, and I don't know if Wilson's going to play there again or not. But it's very similar to Stamkos, Kucherov, and Miller in a way. But Miller's been, I think he's what we've been lacking because we've had some skill on this team and some speed, and we've gone far with it. But you look back and to last some of these grueling rounds and these grueling series, you need those guys that can play heavy, and he's one of those guys that can do it. They blow the dots in the corners, puck protecting, net front, all those things that you need. He can do that, and he wins those puck battles. He's one of the few guys that you go in there against Chara, and he's, you know, he can stand up to him, and you're going to need that in these series. Like, who's going to be able to go into pucks with Orpik? You know, some of these bigger defensemen, and Miller can do it. And the other thing is he's got enough skill and hockey sense to play with guys that have elite hockey sense, and he's just been a great fit for those guys.
So now you play a Washington team that just got over a huge psychological hurdle, beating a team they just couldn't have beat in the past. Do you think that you guys are going to see kind of a more confident, a different Washington team in a way because they've been able to get over that hurdle, that now they might see, hey, maybe we can do what we weren't sure we could do when these playoffs started?
I don't know. I think we're going to face a good Washington team regardless. You hit it on the head, though. I don't know if you remember the shot, or I can't remember if I was watching, you know, being here in the States, you probably got the U.S. feed, but at the end of the game, you could tell they showed Ovechkin, and he kind of had, like, exhaled, and I thought that was a great shot. And I was you kind of feel for the guy. You know, knowing Pittsburgh had won a couple cups and he gets to advance and stuff like that. So, but you just could tell that emotion was just how much it meant to these guys to get by them. And so ultimately you get to the Final Four. The teams are good. They're all 100-point-plus teams. They all have goaltending. They've got D. They've got power plays. They've got guys that have been all-stars in this league. And it just comes down to, you know, you got to stay healthy. You have to be determined. You got to play within your structure. And I thought Washington did a really good job of that. And, you know, Pittsburgh had one heck of a run. It's phenomenal what they did to almost get back again for a third year. But I think Washington is kind of, they've been beat down so many times and not getting by. I think they'll be the determined group moving forward here.
So what you're saying, John, is that you actually watched the game on Monday night? Because you and I talked the last day of the regular season, and you told me you weren't watching Florida-Boston. You were out at an Irish pub drinking Guinness with a buddy. But Monday night, you actually watched the game?
Who says I wasn't at an Irish pub actually watching the game this time?
That's a good point.
Definitely watched the game. You know, it's got a huge impact on what we're going to do moving forward. And, you know, the Florida-Boston was a little bit different in the sense that, you know, it was not that it was obviously out of a control. We've done everything we can to try, and we got to 113 points, and it was out of our control now. But it was more to, this is the playoffs, and it was, I just think it's an exciting time to watch. And knowing that we were going to play one of these teams, as we weren't going to play Boston or Florida, regardless of what happened in that outcome, it's always fun to watch and watch the guys compete. And they said there's nothing like watching playoff hockey. It's pretty exciting.
And drinking Guinness.
There's nothing like watching playoff hockey when you're in the playoffs.
Yes, you're right. Before we let you go, I was talking before that there was a great story you told me one time about being in overtime, and I don't know whether you're a coach junior or whatever, and does your wife not watch when you go to overtime or something to that effect? It was a championship game. Do you remember what I'm talking about at all?
Oh, there's been a few of those instances, yeah. I actually just found out apparently she wasn't when Girardi scored. So my 7-year-old was, they were watching together. And then I, you know, come home and later and say, hey, where'd you watch it? And my son looked at me and he goes, well, I watched it right here. Mom was nowhere to be found. I was like, what? And so apparently, yeah, she went out and paced around and then waits for the cheer and then comes running in when my son says that we scored.
It is stressful.
Lots of, like, there's one of these, I think, there was one year, a few years ago, I think it was our cup year, and Todd Lewicki, if you remember him,
yeah,
he was our CEO, and now he's out in Seattle. Yes, and so anyway, great friend. He's a phenomenal human being. He's going to kill me for saying this, but he's got some of those similar attributes. So I think it was an overtime, and we'd scored, and pacing the hallways, they both kind of ran into each other, like, "What are you doing here? Like, what are you doing here? I can't watch." I'm like, "Neither can I." So. It's some of that stuff goes on, and as long as you know, they ask me all the time, like, how do you know, like, stand there? Like, trust me, I know I'm standing there, kind of looking calm, but it's not always calm in the inside. It's such an exciting competitive time, and everybody's got their superstitions, and that's what happens.
Do you have a lot of them?
This show's not near long enough.
John, thank you very much. Congratulations. You're one of our favorites, and keep it going. It's going to be fun between you and Barry going head-to-head in this Final Four.
Yeah, it was great. It was great to be with him at the All-Star game, and a couple Notre Dame Hounds going at it. So
that's right.
Should be fun. And then, you know, actually looking forward to tomorrow and watching a really exciting Game 7. So should be good.
I completely forgot about the Notre Dame connection. Yeah, we'll keep that in mind as well. They just won the midget championship. So Devin Pratt and company, the head coach from Summerside PEI, won that with Notre Dame. So there you go. Thanks for doing this, pal.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys, and have a good day.